Shabbat Shalom.
Let's open our Bibles, please, everyone. We are in the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5. We are drawing near towards the end of the letter that Yohanan wrote to the family of God, to the Mishpachat Elohim, and we are just drawing towards the end of this letter, very important letter. And beloved brothers and sisters, I would like to suggest that this passage today that we are reading from the Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 6 to 13, is a very important portion for us to study. Every one of us who became a believer in Yeshua, the Messiah, become a part of a family, a mishpacha. Mishpachat Elohim, the family of God, we all belong to God. Every one of us is a member of the body of Messiah, and we all need to learn certain things that are very important. Some of us just became believers just lately, not too long ago, and they need to grow just like a new baby that is born to parents. He or she need to grow. The natural baby need to grow naturally, but the spiritual baby need to grow spiritually. And here we learn, listen to those words, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6 to 13 is the portion for today's ministry. And I'm reading beginning from verse 6. This is he, speaking of Yeshua, that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son hath life. And he that has not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the end of the reading for today's ministry meeting. I intended to finish the Epistle of John today, but this portion is a very important portion for every one of us who are believers in Yeshua the Messiah to grasp. See, those of us who are Jewish, who came to faith in Yeshua the Messiah, historically we never read the Brit HaChadasha, the New Covenant. We only read the Tanakh, the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, we didn't get as much unfolding information that we have in the New Covenant, the Brit HaChadasha, which God had given to us, much more enlightenment concerning the person of our Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, who he is, what he have done, why did he come to this world, why every sinner in this world need him in his or her life. The New Covenant, the Brit HaChadasha, that God have made with his people Israel, is for us today to enjoy in the present day dispensation, as those of us that belong to the body of Messiah, to the church of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, while our own nation Israel today is still blinded to this new covenant, to this Brit Chadasha that God had made with the household of Judah and the house of Israel. And so you and I are enjoying it today because we belong to the body of Messiah by faith, while Israel is still waiting. So now for us, we have so much more information in the scriptures, in the Brit Chadasha, in the writing that the apostle wrote to aid us, to assist us in appreciation what Yeshua the Messiah have done for us. Well, prior to verse 6 of this fifth chapter, the apostle Yohanan, John, already mentioned to these believers in the family of God the importance that, notice verse 1, everyone that believes that Yeshua is the Messiah is born of God. Well, every one of us here, including those ones of us that have just accepted Yeshua the Messiah a day ago, a month ago, 3 months ago, 5 months ago, or 10 months ago, or a year ago, he or she are born of God. They receive new life. The Holy Spirit of God came to indwell in them, and they have entered to be part of the family of God. That's what he says in verse 1. In verse 2, he says, we know that we love the children of God when we love other ones that have already accepted him by keeping God's commandment. When we love the brethren, it is a proof that we obey the word of God and we love the other members of this Mishpachat Elohim, the family of God, by loving them as well. This is verse 2. You see what he said? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And you see, now he is showing to us that we are to obey his commandments. And by obeying his commandments, one of these commandments is to love the brethren. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, Yeshua said in the upper room, if you love one another. In other words, we are to love the brotherhood, the family of God. Wonderful truth that he mentioned in the previous verses. In verses 4 and 5, he said, overcoming the world is simply by faith in Yeshua the Messiah. When we believe in Yeshua, we became positionally overcomer. When we trust him and believe in him on a day-by-day basis, we overcome all the world and its influence upon the people of God. So now Yohanan continuing, and he's sharing with us the importance of understanding that Yeshua is divine, that he is God who became a man, a human being, and he is the one that has the union between the divine nature and the human nature in one. And he gives us here three witnesses to this truth. Now, in verses 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, he emphasized the assurance that we need to realize, need to know that Yeshua is divine, that Yeshua is God. And so let's begin. Let's go through those verses together. First of all, notice that Yeshua the Messiah came by water and by blood. Now that is complicated, beloved brothers and sisters. Look what it says here in verse 6. This is he. He's referring to Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now I have mused over this verse quite a lot. I've listened to various speakers who taught about this verse. I've read commentaries about those who teach the Word of God, whom we respect very much, and we appreciate their ministry. And you know what I found out, beloved brothers and sisters? That there is no one opinion about these two expressions, he that came by water and blood, and not by water only, but by water and blood. So I was wondering, when I was searching this passage, what does John, Yohanan, mean when he said, this is he that came by water and by blood. Now notice that he used the word came. He doesn't use the word come, but he used the word came because he already came. See, John was writing this epistle at about the year 90 AD. He had been an old man. And Yohanan was giving these truths to the mishpacha, to the family of God, to encourage the believer to be grounded on the truth that Yeshua is not only a man, but he's God who became a man. He's God and man in one. And he's saying, this is he that came by water and by blood. So there are four views that Bible teachers have today about this expression. This is he that came by water, maim in Hebrew, and blood, dam in Hebrew. Well, let me tell you those four views, and of course you have to make your decision on that. One of the views is that this expression that came by water and by blood has to do with every believer's water's baptism, and also every believer when he remembered the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, in his death, in what we call the communion, drinking the cup of wine. So one view is that really, when a person become a believer in Yeshua and then he's going through water baptism, then Yeshua comes to him, you might say, and then when he remembered the Lord in his death by drinking the glass of wine, Yeshua come to him in this time. Now, one of the reasons why not everyone looks at this and believe in this, because it doesn't say that Yeshua come when we do that. It said that Yeshua came already. You see, he already come. When John, Yohanan, was writing the epistle, Yeshua already came, have entered into this world, was born of the Virgin Miriam, and then he lived 33 years among our own people of Israel in the land. And then he died on the Roman cross. He was buried and placed there by the garden area there. And then he was resurrected. And ultimately, Acts chapter 1, he was ascended into heaven. In fact, by the time that Yeshua have gone, it's probably at least somewhere about 55 to 60 years when John was writing this letter of the epistle of John. So most likely it has not so much link with the fact that he comes to us every time a person become a believer and he get baptized and then he remember the Lord in his death by drinking the glass of wine or a sip from the cup of grape juice. But this is a view that have been presented. The second view, that Yeshua came by water and by blood, has to do with the fact that the Messiah was born of a woman. You see, in the womb there is a sack of water that protecting the baby. When our wives gave birth to our children, the water breaks and she gives birth to her newborn baby. And the blood, of course, has to do with the fact that when Yeshua died on the cross, he literally shed his precious, precious blood on the cross. So the water has to do, because he was born of a woman, that the water broke, and then therefore he became a literal human being, was born of a woman. Let me just read a verse that is very important in connection with this statement. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 14, this verse is very important. It says, for as much then that the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, this is Yeshua, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. You see, so Yeshua, the Messiah, had to take the nature of man. He had to become a human being, become like you and like me, because you and I were under the sentence of death. And Satan, the devil, had the power over death. And Yeshua came to destroy Satan and his power. And by becoming a man, he took the nature of the human race. But he was without sin, we know, because he was born to the Virgin Miriam. That what made him qualified to become the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of this world. This is the second view. So the first view has to do with our baptism and our remembrance of him in the drinking of the cup. The second view, it has to do with the water that protects the child when it breaks. She is ready to give forth a child into this world, to give birth to a child. Now, there's a third view about this, and this is also very interesting. The third view is the Lord Yeshua the Messiah's very own baptism that happened in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 3. If you remember, John the Baptizer was going to baptize those Jewish people who came down from Judea to the Jordan. And then Yeshua appears. And John the Baptizer, Yohanan HaMatbil, saying to Yeshua the Messiah, he said to him, "You coming to be baptized of me? I should be baptized of you." And Yeshua said to him, "Suffer me to be baptized. It is the right thing for me to be baptized." Why? Because he identified with the repentance of these Hebrews, these Jewish people who came to Yohanan HaMatbil, to John the Baptizer, to be baptized. So when he came to the water baptism there, you remember heaven was open and God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And that is the beginning of the ministry of Yeshua, the Messiah. He began his public ministry when he was baptized by Yohanan HaMatbil, by John the Baptizer, and he ended his ministry when he died for us on the cross, on the tree. And he shed his precious blood. He came by water, has a reference to his very own water baptism, which God have declared, "This is my beloved Son." And he ended up when he died on the cross. And there on the cross, he, remember, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There he concluded his ministry here, where he finished for us the work on the cross, the work of salvation. So this is one of the views that is most likely taken by the Bible teachers who teach today the Word of God. And we appreciate to learn from those things, because we are all in the school of God, beloved brothers and sisters, every one of us, doesn't matter how many years you are a believer, or I am a believer in Yeshua the Messiah, we are in the school of God. We are learning, we are growing, we are marching forward, and we learn to appreciate, but we want to be biblical and scriptural, because it's the best thing to be basing what we believe upon the written Word of God. And so here's the fourth view, which is also very important, and most Bible teachers take this position. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, the Besorah, the Gospel. And in chapter 19, we see Yeshua, the Messiah, on the cross. Notice in verse 25 of John chapter 19, there stood by the cross of Yeshua, his mother, and his mother's sister, Miriam, the wife of Kelophas, and Miriam Magdalene. When Yeshua therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing whom he loved, this disciple, beloved brothers and sisters, is John, is Yohanan, the one who writing to us this letter. He actually never liked to speak about himself. And you notice what he called himself? The disciple whom he loved. You notice John, Yohanan never say, "I'm the disciple who loved Jesus." He says, "I'm the disciple whom Yeshua loved." You know why? Because he knew that his love for Yeshua is many times changing. Our love is oftentimes very shallow. But the love of Yeshua is without measure, without limitation. He loved his own which were in the world. He loved them all the way to the cross, to the end, to the uttermost. He gave his life for us. And so Yeshua seeing the disciple whom he loved, and he said to his mother, "Woman," this is to Miriam, his mother, "behold your son." And he says to the disciple, this is Yohanan, "Behold your mother." In other words, he gave the responsibility to Yohanan, the apostle, to care for his mother, because he was going to give his life on the tree for a ransom, for the salvation of mankind. But notice now what we read here in verse 28. After this, Jesus, Yeshua, knowing that all things were accomplished and that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and they put it upon hyssop, and they put it to his mouth. And when Yeshua therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Nigmar. It has been done. The work of redemption has been complete. And notice it says here, and he bowed his head and he gave up the spirit. Here now, by the cross, by the tree, John stood and he watched Yeshua there on the cross. But John noticed one more thing that was very important, beloved brothers, that he kept it in memory. And he's writing this to us now, later on, when we are now receiving this letter. It says in verse 31, because it was the preparation for Pesach, for the Shabbat that is, and Pesach, Passover, then the Jewish people, the leaders of Israel, wanted to remove Yeshua from the cross. And so what happened, it says here in verse 31, the Jewish leaders, that is, therefore because it was a preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Shabbat day, for that Shabbat was a high day, that was the Pesach that was approaching, they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they would be taken away. Now, in other words, there were two malefactors plus the Lord on the crosses. They were crucified there, hanging on the Roman crosses. And you know, the only way to keep them from the pain of being crucified is their legs to kind of push up a little bit to keep themselves from experiencing greater torture. So their legs will be broken and they will die sooner, so they will remove them from their crosses. Well, it says in verse 32, then came the soldiers to break the legs of the first and of the other, which were crucified with him. But, it says, verse 33, when they came to Yeshua and they saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. And it is interesting that they didn't even know that they were fulfilling the scripture. Already in Exodus chapter 12, God gave instruction to our people Israel in connection with the Messiah and the lamb that is a type of the Messiah. They were called not to break his legs. And you notice it says it, but one of the soldiers took a spear in his hand in verse 34. And he pierced his side. And notice what John saw. And forthwith came there out blood and water. And he saw, notice what John is saying. And he that saw it, this is Yohanan, he bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that whatever he's saying is true, that ye might believe. Now, can you imagine? John was so close to Yeshua the Messiah, who was already dead on that Roman cross. You remember he said it is finished. He gave up the spirit. Nobody took it away from him. He laid it down willingly because he wanted to accomplish redemption, that sinners can be forgiven. He gave himself over. But now when that soldier saw that Yeshua was dead already, he doesn't break his leg to fulfill the prophets. He's piercing him through with a sword. The psalmist of Israel, David, Melech Israel, the king of Israel, said long time ago, prophetically about the Messiah, they pierced my hands and my feet. And so he pierced him. And what happened, what Yohanan is seeing here, and therefore came their blood and water. Now again, this is the fourth way in which Bible teachers look at this expression that we find in 1 John 5 verse 6. This is he that came By water and blood, even Yeshua, the Messiah, not by water only, but by water and blood. That's how he came. In other words, he entered to this world as a man, but ultimately on the cross, when the spear pierced him, and it is really in the heart, that really blood and water flowed out. And again, I'm not a doctor. I don't have much knowledge of the doctor. But the fourth way that most Bible teachers look at, this is the water which flew out of Yeshua's side, that there is a sack that surround the heart. That the water were raptured, the sack of water that was surrounding the heart for protection. When the spear came through, that sack was raptured and water flew out just alongside the blood. Now, beloved brothers and sisters, this is very important to realize this. Now, John would write to the believers, to the family of God in his epistle, these words for a reason. Why? Because already at the time when Yohanan was speaking at the early church age, there were already those who did not believe that Yeshua was the Messiah. They did not believe that he is God and man in one. Some denied his deity. Others denied his humanity. And again, I would like to suggest to you that today, many deny either or both. Our own Jewish people have a problem with the deity of the Messiah. Our families might say he was a good man, he was a good rabbi, he was a kind man, he was a genius, he was a great leader that the Gentile world follow after. But what Yohanan, this Jewish fisherman who became a believer in Yeshua the Messiah, who accepted the Messiah already in the Galilee when he was there fishing for fish on the Sea of Galilee, he followed Yeshua the Messiah, he understood that he was a real man and yet divine. And then he's saying here, this is he that came by water and by blood. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And look at this, brothers and sisters, what he is emphasizing there, that Yeshua the Messiah was a real man, spirit, soul, and body. He was born of a woman, Miriam. He was born under the law, as God had promised to our people of old. He was a real man, yet sin apart. And just like you and I, as a human being, we have this sack of water surrounding our hearts. If our sack going to be raptured, dying of a broken heart, dying this death that is caused by the spear that pierced through, well, he died just like you and I would die in the same way if we would experience this. He was a real man. This is the emphasis in Mark. John is adding here, and I think this is very important, these two elements of water and blood really serve here to teach us certain important things that help us in our lives as we follow Yeshua the Messiah. These two elements become for us that which is an element of cleansing for you and I. You see, these two elements that we have here, the water and the blood that Yeshua the Messiah shed on the cross for us, purify us judicially. It purifies us from a guilty conscience. You remember what we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yeshua the Messiah cleanses us from all sin. The element of the blood cleanses us judicially, positionally. Once and for all, when we have accepted Yeshua the Messiah, we are judicially have been cleansed and our sins have been washed away. But what about the water? Here's another thing that is very important to grasp. You see, the water that came forth out of the body of Yeshua has to do with a practical cleansing. It is so interesting how the Bible teaches us that the water really speaks to us of the water of the washing by the Word of God. Now turn with me for a moment to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25 and verse 26, this is Paul, Shaul, he is now speaking to the believers at Ephesus, and he is encouraging them to understand how important the work of the Messiah. So he is telling them in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 and 26, he is speaking to the husbands. And he said, husbands, love your wives. How? Look, he said, even as the Messiah also loved the church, the assembly, and have given himself for the assembly, for it, for the church. And then he adds, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water, and he add, by the word. So what we really learn here, Paul is connecting here the washing of the water to the word of God. And really, it is important to realize when John is emphasizing both in the gospel and the epistle of Yeshua the Messiah that came not by water only, but by water and by blood, he's making a reference to the two elements that came forth out of the body of Yeshua the Messiah. The blood cleaning us positionally, judicially, and the water pointing to Yeshua's cleansing us through his word. We are cleansed by the washing of the water by the word. Now, I did not make this water apply to the word, but Paul mentioned this in Ephesians chapter 5. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, whichever position one might take out of these four views that I presented before you, I would suggest that number two, number three, and number four combined together may really represent what Yohanan really wanted to say here to the mishpacha, to the family of God. Yeshua was born of a woman. When a woman's water breaks, she's ready to deliver. Yeshua was baptized, nitbal, in the Jordan River by Yohanan HaMatbil, John the Baptizer. There he began his ministry, which began with the water baptism and ended with this bloodshed on the cross. And the last one is Yeshua, when he was pierced through, out of his side, came that water and blood, these two elements of cleansing, cleansing us judicially once and for all, cleansing us practically ongoing in the life of the believer, because we quickly find ourselves failing, and the washing of the water by the word cleanses us on a regular basis, keep on cleansing us. So this is important. That's why I wanted to take the time to speak here about verse 6. And notice at the end of verse 6, Yohanan is saying, and it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now how do we know all these things? Because Ruach HaKodesh Elohim, the Holy Spirit of God, is enlightened us. You see, before we became believers, we didn't see those things. And the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. He can't, or she can't. The natural man by nature cannot grasp this. But the Holy Spirit of God can awaken us and enlighten us. And notice he used that expression, because the Spirit, he is truth. The Holy Spirit of God is truth. What he say, it is the truth of the word of God. Please bear with me. Go to John 14, verse 16 and 17. Yeshua the Messiah in the upper room said to these Hebrew disciples there, long before he died, anticipating his death, he said to them in chapter 14, verse 16 and verse 17, notice what he says about the Holy Spirit of God. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even, and notice what he's saying, even the Spirit of Truth. Ruach ha'emet, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Chapter 15, verse 26. There he says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, Ruach ha'emet, again, he's calling the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Notice chapter 16, one more verse. Verse 12 and 13. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, Ruach ha'emet, when he's come, he will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and will show it unto you. Beloved brothers and sisters, the Spirit of Truth, Ruach ha'emet, the Holy Spirit of God, is the Spirit of Truth. And he, the one that bear witness, he have enlightened us. He have revealed Yeshua the Messiah to us. Why is it that you and I are sitting here today and listening to the Word of God all together? See, we could have gone to do something else today. Why come and listen to the Word of God and hear about this Yeshua that died sometime 2,000 years ago? We could have done so many other things, but we have chosen to come to sit here and to be under the sound of the Word because the Spirit of God wooed us, drawn us, pulled us closer and enlightened us and opened our eyes to see the lover of our souls, even Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. And so back, please, to 1 John chapter 5. We are here in these verses, verses 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, that Yohanan present the sure knowledge that Yeshua is divine, that he is God the Son, God and man in one. He continued about witnesses. And this is also, brothers and sisters, very interesting verses. Because in verse 7 and 8, it says this, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now, let's pause here for a moment. Again, I want you to understand, most Bible teachers tell us that part of verse 7 and verse 8 are really not in the original Greek manuscript. That's why those of you who have a different translation than the King James, you would read verses 7 and 8 in this way. And I'm reading now 7 and 8, and I'm eliminating that which was not in the original Greek manuscript. Look what it's saying. For there are three that bear record, the Spirit, and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. You notice that I didn't read some of verse 7 and some of verse 8. Why? Because in the original Greek manuscript, it was not there. And apparently, later on, in about 1200s, when the King James was copied from the Greek into the what is known today as the King James, someone has seen in one of the manuscripts this expression that it says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one, and there are three that bear witness on earth, and so on. And they saw it in the margin of the manuscripts. Now remember, beloved brothers and sisters, in old time, when the people who received the Word of God, they were copying manuscripts from one to another. They did not have the privilege that you and I have today. We have the Word of God in our hands. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of Bibles, complete Bibles in our hands, in every translation, in every language that we have in our own hands today. But in past days of old, in the early church age, The manuscripts that were written in Greek were passed from one to another, and the scribes were passing it and adding to it as time were going on. They were copying it. Apparently, one was putting in the margin these words that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one, and there are three that bear witness on earth. In other words, someone have kind of put it in the margin because he felt that this is maybe should be inserted. And the next scribe perhaps took it and saw it there and he added and placed in the scripture. Now, this is also important for us to bear in mind. So, can we trust the Word of God? How do we know that there are not other things that have been inserted or added or subtracted? Now, again, I would like to say that teachers of the Bible, those who read those manuscripts, read it and they have seen it was not there in the first 500 years or 700 years or 1,000 years. It was not there in the early manuscript. It was simply added by someone in one of the margins that had been placed into the Word of God. So when you read some, let's say, New American Standard or NIV, you might find that it's not there at all because they have received their translation with much earlier manuscripts and it was not there. And it really shows us that why also it was not necessary, because it says that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we do not know what's happening, you might say, in heaven, but what we know here and what is needed for us is the testimony here on earth. That you and I will hear the word on earth and believe what God says to us here on earth. Now we could use this second half of verse 7 and the first half of verse 8 to show the testimony of the triunity of God. We could use it, but it's not necessary because we have other passages. So, if the reading of the text should be this way, of verse 7 and 8 together, as you might say, one verse, and I'm reading this again for the benefit of all of us. For there are three that bear record, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. These are the three witnesses that together they witness to us who Yeshua the Messiah is. Number one, the Spirit. We read in John 14, John 15, John 16, that the Holy Spirit of God, Ruach Elohim, He is the one that witnessed concerning the person of Yeshua the Messiah. Secondly, the water. We have already looked at these elements. Whether it is the water that broke from a woman who would bring forth a child because Yeshua was born to the Virgin Miriam, or whether it is the water of baptism, the Tvilah in the Jordan River, Yohanan, the beginning of the ministry of Yeshua the Messiah, or whether it is the water that came forth from the issue that came out of the body of Yeshua when he died. We have already looked at all these. It proved to us that he was a real man that was born of the Virgin Miriam, that God gave a testimony to him at his water baptism, and that when he died, the water around the sack was ruptured, and out of it came water and blood. He was a real man, yet without sin, sin apart. See, you and I are real people, real men, real women, but you and I are sinners. We have sin in us. In sin, David said, did my mother conceive me. Paul said, oh wretched man that I am. Isaiah say, I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. All, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there was one man, and his name is Yeshua, who never sinned. And yet was a real, real God and man in one. He took union humanity with his divine nature. That's what makes him qualified to be our Mashiach, our Messiah. And those three together, The Holy Spirit of God and the water and the blood give us the witness that He is the one, the Mashiach, the Savior, the one that came to this world to be born of the Virgin Miriam in order that He will accomplish redemption for the human race. And so Yohanan continue now in verses 9 and 10. And look what he says in verse 9. God's testimony of His Son Yeshua is greater than any human testimony. In verse 9 he says, if we receive the witness or the testimony of men, the witness or the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony, the witness of God which He has testified of His Son. You know, every day we believe in the testimony of the human being, of human race. You got up in the morning today, you open the radio, you listen to the announcer who said that today is going to be very cold, make sure that you dress warm. And you and I believe him. We put a good coat on, hat, scarf. I received yesterday a very nice hat and a scarf as a gift. It was kept me so warm. And you know, when you listen to the testimony of the announcer, and he says it's cold, you appreciate to listen to him and to believe his testimony. Other people tell us in the news, and you see that there is war going on right now in the Middle East. There is a problem going on in some other country, and we believe that. Well, if we believe the testimony of men, he says the testimony of God is greater. The testimony of God, verse 9, we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness. What did God witness? God said in His word that Yeshua is the Messiah. God witnessed, He testified of the person of His Son. This is important for the believers to grasp. Paul said in the book of Romans how men have rejected the witness of God. And Paul emphasized this in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Paul said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Why? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified not God, neither they were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, men by nature refuse the testimony of God. And it says here that His wrath is against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth that He knows. But He holds it in unrighteousness. He has conscience within and he rejects God. He has creation without and he still rejects God. Men prefer to listen to the testimony of other men rather than to listen to the testimony of God, who said, you all have sinned, you need forgiveness of sins, accept Yeshua the Messiah, He is my Son, He came to this world for you. Will you accept Him as your Lord, Messiah and Savior? And John is saying that the testimony of God is greater than the testimony of any man. You know those people who refuse Yeshua today, when they're going to stand at the great white throne judgment, they will say, I played the fool. I should have listened to the testimony of God. And they will beseech God, please let me come in. And God will tell them, what have you done with my Son? He paid a price for you on the cross. He shed His blood for you on the cross, on the tree. Why you rejected Him? And when you die, when you leave this world rejecting the Messiah, there is no more hope after death. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts, He's saying. That is the witness that God had given to mankind. And when men refuse the Son of God, there is nothing left for God to give anymore. And so we read now in verse 10, the believer have within himself or within herself that witness. Every one of us today, beloved brothers and sisters, and I trust all of us are believers in Yeshua the Messiah. If any one of us here is not a believer, let me tell you, when you're going to have to stand before God, you're going to have to face the wrath of God. But if you will believe in Yeshua today, the wrath of God have already fallen upon him, and you will never need to face this anymore. Look what we read in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself or in herself. He that believeth not God, listen, he made him a liar because he did not believe the record that God gave his Son. You see, when we do not believe in Yeshua the Messiah, we are actually calling God a liar. And Paul said in Romans 3 verse 4, let God be true. And every man a liar. And so, brothers and sisters, we have a witness in our hearts, in our conscience. We have the witness within ourselves because the Holy Spirit is indwelling us. And you know, speaking about some of us who just became believers just recently, when we facing the world, and the world tell us, don't give me this nonsense. How can you say that this Jesus, this Yeshua is the Messiah? We face opposition. And then they tell us, why you are so dogmatic? Why you say there's only one way? Everybody has a way to get to God. You got your way and we got our way. But you see, there is not more than one way. There is one way to God. Yeshua said in John chapter 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No more than one way. And John is saying here, listen, you have the witness in yourself. And if one does not accepting what God witnessed, he's actually calling God a liar. Earlier in chapter 1, he said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Somebody says, oh, I haven't sinned, I'm pretty good. You are really telling God that he is a liar because God says you are a sinner. You will be judged because I'm a holy God and I love you. I gave the Messiah for you, but you are calling me a liar when you say that you have not sinned. And here he's saying, if you say that God is not true, what he said about his Son, you are calling God a liar. And so, John is very strong on these passages. So, brothers and sisters, let me conclude here with verses 11, 12, and 13. Not only that Yohanan is pointing to the sure knowledge that Yeshua was divine, God and man, and his humanity at one, then in verses 11 to 13, every believer, he is assuring us that every one of us who believe now in Yeshua the Messiah, we have everlasting life, we have eternal life. And notice in these beautiful three verses, in verse 11, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may continue to believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, he's now giving us this beautiful assurance. Okay? It's clear now, you have acknowledged that Yeshua came by water and by blood. He was born into this world. He was a real man. A man who became a man of sorrows. He died for our sins. He is the one that washed away our sins. And now he's saying, by believing in this, you have eternal life. This is the testimony that God has given to us eternal life. Now, brothers and sisters, how long is eternal life? You know, sometimes people deliberate. Look at us. Some of us that have been with us are no longer with us today. They've gone out of this scene. They died, some at 60, 70, 80, 90. They're gone. The life here is temporary, it's short. But eternal life, it has to do with our relationship with our Abba, our Father, our God. And that has to do with far longer the temporary time that we are passing here through this world. Eternal life has to do with never to end. And you notice it says eternal life, because when a person becomes a believer, he was dead in the past, now he received life. He is now born again, born from above. He is a new creation. He has life, and now from here on it is eternal life. But eternal life, beloved brothers and sisters, is much more than just a quantity, but eternal life has to do with quality. In John chapter 17, Yeshua the Messiah, on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he says those words. Yeshua is now praying. These words, verse 1, spake Yeshua, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And now he's explaining in his prayer, you might say, what is eternal life? And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Yeshua, the Messiah, whom thou hast sent. What is eternal life? Eternal life is having relationship with God, relationship with Yeshua the Messiah. This is eternal life, beloved brothers and sisters. So we read in those last verses, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Outside of the Son, there is no eternal life. He that has the Son has life. But he that has not the Son of God have no life. A person who do not have the Son of God, the Messiah, he has no life at all. He is dead, or she is dead in trespasses and sins. In the conclusion, these things I have written unto you, he was writing to the mishpacha, to the family of God, I am writing unto you, that those who are already believers, that you may know. Brothers and sisters, you and I are to know that. Not only intellectually, but to know it in our hearts. To know because we do have eternal life. And yes, it says, this eternal life is in his Son. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. As we continue to follow the Lord here in this world, we ought to have this assurance in our hearts and continue to follow Yeshua all the way until he takes us home, knowing that we belong to him, and that our life is eternal, and that the witnesses, the Holy Spirit, the blood, and the water give us a testimony that Yeshua was a real man, God and man in one. Well, may the Lord help us to grasp it, as the Holy Spirit of God is able to help us.